Satoshi created Bitcoin for the separation of money and state, right? Well, the US government clearly supports that motion. They got rid of their own Bitcoin.
I almost sympathize with the Bulgarian people who could have had their national debt paid down and, you know, done this playbook that some have described the US could do.
So is it possible that Bitcoin sort of disarms the money printer and is able to pay down the debt in a way where we transition into an era of responsibility?
So to avoid the pain that I went through, I suggest you pick up a book, watch a video, ask an intelligent question, think for, you know, five minutes, and focus on what the ethos of Bitcoin is.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got the most handsome man in Bitcoin, Tony, here, and our favorite conspiratorial thinker of the day, Mr. Ben Werman. Gents, let's jump into some news. So up first, we've got the U.S. Strategic Bitcoin Reserve does not seem to be what we thought it was, less than or 85% less than previously thought. It looks like about 29,000. Total Bitcoin, approximately $3.44 billion worth versus the, what was it, like 200 and something, 210,000 that we'd imagine. So I don't know if this was a Biden administration fire sale that happened on the way out, or if we were just lied to, or who knows at this point. Ben, I'll let you take this one first. What's your takeaway from this? And by the way, is this a good thing or a bad thing, or what's your opinion?
I mean, it's always tricky as an American person because you want the best for the future of your country, but you also see what they've been doing for all these years, and do they really deserve to have this? It's tough to guess what would really be the best for the country. Would a complete clean out when hyper-Bitcoinization happens and fiat implodes be a better thing than having some money or some Bitcoin left over? It's tough to say. It's an interesting question worth speaking about, but I would say overall, it's a little bit unfortunate, but at the end of the day, just more Bitcoin for other people, and the people who deserve it will get it the most. So it's not really a huge deal on my radar, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I've always been sort of opposed to, for the last year, been rather opposed to the strategic Bitcoin reserves. I just don't trust government, don't like them. I'd rather people have Bitcoin. It might make sense if they had been selling, why we've had like this downward pressure on price for a while that a lot of people have been asking about. Is it paper Bitcoin? Is it longtime holders? It could be nation states. Tony, what is your take on all this?
Why are you guys upset, man? This is great news. Satoshi.
I think it's funny.
No, but look, Satoshi created Bitcoin for the separation of money and state, right? Well, the U.S. government clearly supports that motion because they got rid of their own Bitcoin. So they fully support the separation of money and state as well, right? But, you know, people always win. So when governments lose, you know, it's rarely bad news for the people, especially with something like this. So hopefully the news is true, and hopefully plebs bought it up and it wasn't like gobbled up by institutions or, you know, ETFs and some of that other nonsense.
I mean, but that's the thing for me, which is the only case for why it could be spun as a bad thing, is like just some other giant entity that's even worse takes it. So
yeah, of course. But, you know, the race to remove the Guinness World Record for stupidity from Germany is on, eh? So I guess the U.S. wants to dethrone Germany as, you know, the Guinness World Record of the worst financial decisions when it comes to Bitcoin.
No, Tony, yeah. Tony, we got a worse one coming up, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But I think I would add, I've heard very smart people make compelling reasons for why the U.S. should have a strategic Bitcoin reserve, like people I trust and respect. And part of the benefit is, of course, paying down the national debt. My concern with that is if they use Bitcoin to pay down the national debt, two things happen. First of all, I think, yes, it's good that Bitcoin will go back into the hands of retail buyers to some degree and probably many institutional buyers. But I think it's still going to go to us 1% of people that have figured this out. And it's not going to like distribute the Bitcoin in some meaningful way to the masses, because most people just aren't buying spot Bitcoin and then taking it into self-custody. But the second thing is, if the money printer doesn't stop, the fact that they pay down the national debt doesn't mean that 5 years from now, we won't be back to $10 trillion and then $20 trillion and then, you know, $50 trillion, you know, 20 years from now. Like, I don't think it resolves the problem. It just temporarily, it prolongs the lifeline of the fiat system, in my view. And maybe there's an implosion that happens and it's ugly for a while, but at least it's like this cleansing period that we might, in my view, need to have. So we'll see. But Tony, let's get to this one, because you said that it would be the Guinness World Record for the worst financial decision. But actually, Bulgaria sold 213,500 Bitcoin back in 2018 that are now worth almost 80% of public debt. And Safe said all they had to do was hodl for a few years and then pay off the national debt and stop being a tax farm to pay interest to bankers. So I think Bulgaria might actually win. That is a lot of Bitcoin. Like, that's in the ballpark of what we thought the U.S. had. And Bulgaria could have effectively paid down its national debt, as I described just a moment ago, but chose to instead sell. Tony.
I stand corrected, man. So Germany has officially lost the title for sure. I mean, I thought the U.S. took it, but now it seems like Bulgaria is holding the gold throne when it comes to that record. Holy cow, man. That's a lot of money to miss out on. And, you know, simply by ignoring, you know, what a lot of people have been talking about for so long, you know, they, I guess they assumed that if they just debunked it or sold it or got rid of it, somehow Bitcoin would die and people would stop taking it seriously and its value would wither away. Yeah. Guess what, suckers? The joke's on you. So Bitcoin's not going anywhere, and anyone who continuously ignores it, well, they're just shooting themselves in the foot, right? So, but again, remember, the only Bitcoin that has any value is the one that you hold, meaning the private keys that you own, not an ETF, not a Bitcoin treasury, not whatever creative concoction of, you know, financial garbage that's out there. It's Bitcoin in full self-custody, or you hold nothing.
So I've got to say, I've got some cognitive dissonance on this, because on one hand, out of one side of my mouth, I'm saying I don't want governments to have Bitcoin. On the other hand, Bulgaria is not an international superpower. They don't start a lot of world wars. They're not looking to constantly expand their imperial empire. And so I almost sympathize with the Bulgarian people who could have had their national debt paid down and, you know, done this playbook that some have described the U.S. could do in a way that I'm more averse to the U.S. doing, because I know, you know, the shit that we stir up in the world, basically. I'd be curious. I know you're a little bit torn on how you feel about the strategic reserves anyway, but do you have any opinions on maybe the difference in the nature of the country who might be adopting Bitcoin? Like, do you have sympathy for Bulgaria, or is this, you know, a good thing, or what?
I wouldn't even say I'm like super torn. I'm more just indifferent on it, because it all comes down to this conversation Bitcoiners always love to have, which is it possible to bring down a fiat system softly into a Bitcoin transition? And I think that is kind of what decides, is it bad or good if X government has cash or Bitcoin, I'm sorry. Because if that is the case, like bringing us back to the U.S. example, as an American, I would love the best for the American future. So is it possible that Bitcoin sort of disarms the money printer and is able to pay down the debt in a way where we transition into an era of responsibility in government again? Where is it possible to even see that? I don't know. So there's just a lot of questions up in the air. But to answer your question, I can't remember if I even told you guys this, but I spent a couple of weeks in Bulgaria recently. So it's a beautiful country. I had a wonderful time there. So I want the best for them. It's very, I felt very at home there. There's very nice people, very good place to go. And so I would say that personally, like you said, some countries, it feels like, man, they deserve a win. You know, they should have a good thing happen to them. So I would say it is more unfortunate when it's a nice little country like that, that, like you said, they don't get into all this crap everywhere like the U.S. and other countries do. So I would say yes. You can't help but feel a little bit differently toward a country depending on what their status is, what they're like.
Yeah. And if I understand correctly, too, Bulgaria is one of the poorer countries I believe they're European Union, right? But in the European bloc.
It felt like it when I was there. It was hard to find, you know, I'm a big meat eater. I couldn't even find beef anywhere. It's just like only pork. Oh. And that's one of the signs for a poor country. They don't have like high quality food.
And you felt at home? Without beef?
It was hard to find. I did find it, though. I actually found a place that took Bitcoin, a little burger spot. I just went there every day and just stacked a pile of patties, but it was like one of the only places in town. I was in like a small mountain town, too. I don't know about the cities. It's probably better.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing I was going to say, I've had a couple of guys from Bulgaria on the podcast. Ivan Makedonsky at Breeze. George Manilov was helping to run.
I love George. He's great. He was on my plane to go there. I met him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he was at the football club, Botev Plovdiv. And so, like, a lot of guys doing some great things. And I need to get them back on the podcast and get their opinion on this, because I'd be curious to hear from someone sort of boots on the ground. All righty, guys. We got more from government. All three crypto bills have passed in the House. So you have the Clarity Act, the Genius Act, and the Anti-CBDC Act. And the interesting thing for me here was, if you look at the anti-CBDC, it was passed 219 to 210. So the others were rather bipartisan. As I understand it, the anti-CBDC Act was down party lines. I'm not diehard Republican or anything, but unsurprisingly, the Democrats wanted to leave the option for a CBDC in place. Ben, could you give, I know we were talking about, like, you kind of pulled a summary of some of this stuff. Could you give maybe just like a real quick rundown of these for our listeners who aren't familiar with what's included?
Yeah, so this is just a comment someone left with the AI response. So the Genius Act, it says, establishes federal framework for stablecoins, limiting issuance to qualified entities, requiring one-to-one reserves with high-quality assets, and mandating disclosure supervision for stability innovation. Lots of fluffy words. Clarity Act is number two. It provides regulatory clarity for digital assets, dividing oversight between SEC securities and CFTC commodities, regulating exchanges and protecting customer assets. And as you said, the Anti-CBDC Act prohibits Fed from issuing retail CBDCs or offering direct services to individuals, preventing surveillance and limiting government digital currencies.
Okay, so the one, my biggest takeaway from that is the irony is of the Genius Act is that only, I think you said high quality assets to back one-to-one. And the I noticed that the assets that they list are like cash in U.S. treasuries and very clearly not high quality assets. Tony, what, there so many ways we could take this. I think the Clarity Act is maybe the least interesting. It's probably important because it distinguishes securities from commodities. I'll be interested to see how they end up describing that, like how they define it. And, you know, is Ethereum a security as it should be, or is it a commodity? But what do you think about everything happening in Washington right now, Tony? I think you're muted.
I don't trust any of this. I think this is all a bunch of theatrics, because at the end of the day, I don't believe the U.S. government really wants to adopt Bitcoin the way it was created. They certainly will not embrace self-custody, in my opinion, because it completely undermines their existence. So all these, you know, all this theatric that you're seeing is just that, you know, tread with caution. What's really irksome is how many people are cheering it on. Like, what have you learned from the past 16 years is clearly nothing. Bitcoin wasn't created to wait for permission from these guys. Bitcoin was created to give power back to you, the people. You take it and you move on. You don't wait around so that big daddy government tells you it's okay, or here's the bill that you need to read and that gives you the permission to do this. You shouldn't give a shit about what they say or do. Bitcoin is outside the system. It was created to restore the power of time and energy to 8 billion people. So you learn how to use these skills. You hold them in full self-custody. Who cares what they come out with? They're going to come out with a million forms of rubbish that doesn't benefit anyone but themselves. So until you learn this, you're going to keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. You're going to get wrecked, you know, more brutally each time. Hopefully one day when you run out of money completely, maybe then you'll pay attention. So to avoid the pain that I went through, I suggest you pick up a book, watch a video, ask an intelligent question, think for, you know, five minutes, and focus on what the ethos of Bitcoin is. Self-custody, not government permission, not regulatory approval. None of that shit matters.
So I completely agree with you, obviously, when it comes to individuals and families. Just adopt Bitcoin. Buy Bitcoin, take it into self-custody. The folks who I sympathize with are like, for example, I remember talking to Michelle Weekly on our podcast about this. So she works for Byte Federal. They've got Bitcoin ATMs. They have, I think, like some Bitcoin and maybe like crypto payment processing solutions or something. And she was explaining to me how incredibly hard it was during Operation Choke Point 2.0, particularly under the Biden administration, not having regulatory clarity. And like I can't remember what it was that they were building something. And then all of a sudden, like, I don't know, the Tornado Cash guy got arrested or like it was something came up and they're like, oh, is what we're doing going to like land our CEO or our team in prison? You know? And so I think for companies who are kind of acting as like these intermediaries, the on-ramps, the off-ramps between fiat and Bitcoin, for them to have some clarity around what are we able to do, what's required of us, it is a helpful thing. So that's maybe the one area. I don't know if you have another comment on that or Ben, if you want to, you know, chime in, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was an excellent, very good Tony rant, which perfectly encapsulates where everyone should get to. Like that is where we need to be as a society, where we just don't give a fuck. But for the people out there I personally want the most good for the most amount of people, as we all do. So some people need baby steps and they are still looking at those authorities and they care about that stuff. So I'm still gonna, you know, it's worth keeping a pinky toe of interest on it just to see them being forced in the right direction, because if they were to come out and say, oh, everything about Bitcoin is illegal now, it would make it more difficult for us to get to where we want to be. And I personally am one of those people, I don't really follow all the political Bitcoiners, the ones that go to DC or do all this lobbying, but I think that it is a net positive. It's going to move us in a direction we want to go faster. So I'm cool with them. I'm not really going to spend a lot of energy on it, but I do think that it does help those people that are not toxic hardcore Bitcoiners yet headed in the right direction.
Yeah. So Ben, I agree with you. So here's the pushback I would give. And that is, so I'm giving pushback on both extremes here. So I was watching a Tuttle Twins video with my daughter last night, and it was talking about how when governments pass laws, sometimes it sounds like it's done with good intentions, but if it turns them into the thief anyway, and they're just stealing your money to give it to someone else or whatever, using taxes as an example, it doesn't really matter. And my curiosity is, to what extent are these laws even going to be honored and leveraged in the positive ways that we might perceive them to be used? Because it's so easy for these things to just be totally bastardized or completely ignored and done as like lip service to a community of people who are so excited about regulatory clarity. And so I'm just like, I'm cautious about, is it a net positive? Yeah, if the anti-CBDC law is followed and abided by, but like, what are the definitions? Is there some workaround? Is the Supreme Court going to, you know, turn over here in the next few years and, you know, say, oh, they shouldn't, this is an unconstitutional law anyway. Like the Federal Reserve should be able to issue a CBDC. It's like, who cares? These are just letters on a page. And so I'm just like skeptical of how does any of this actually materialize in the real world? And so I completely agree with Tony's rant. People need to just ignore the government, buy Bitcoin, take self-custody, don't overthink it. I'm hopeful that to the extent that these laws are going to pass, whether I care about them or like them or whatever or not, maybe it gives people like Michelle Weekly and her team some clarity about how they can proceed without having to fear prison time. But I think that, you know, it's just one giant question mark to me as to how it all really plays out practically. So I don't know if either of you want to comment on that, but that's kind of where cautious optimism is kind of how I tend to live my life when it comes to
politics. Highly skeptical of anything positive. That's my stand.
I think that's a good default. That is completely reasonable.
that's a good default for people who are really in this for the right reasons. But I would say just like splitting hairs, just the fact that it's being talked about in all these different areas, including the government, is still just getting the conversation going more. So the very least, yeah, that's always like my fallback is like, is this a net positive, even a minuscule one that just gets people talking, you know?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, here's my take. They have to talk about it because it's not going away. It's not like they're doing you a favor by talking about it. They're doing so because they see that this thing is going to grow out of control. And, you know, their only hope in hell in remaining relevant is to somehow have something to do with it. So this is where all of these, you know, theatrics come into play, hopefully to sway enough people to use their version of what they consider okay for Bitcoin. Remember when I was telling you on previous podcast, if I was a corrupt government, how would I attack it? I wouldn't do it head on. It's impossible. I know it's a lose-lose, but I would embrace it, you know, and I would, you know, glamorize my version of it so that hopefully people, you know, flock to me rather to the one thing that they actually, you know, win in, which is learning how to self-custody that Bitcoin. Look at all the talk that's been coming out from not just the U.S. government, any government. Where have the words self-custody ever been spoken or written anywhere? Not a single place. You think that's is that by coincidence? Absolutely not. Because that is the Bitcoin revolution. That is the guarantee of the separation of money and state, is self-custody. But as long as people favor convenience over common sense, that's what you get, right? But sooner or later, these people are going to get wrecked because the legacy system is not the way it was 100 years ago. It is on its last legs. The money printing has gone for far too long. It's not sustainable. Like we are living on a brink of like a massive boom. When that happens, could be any day as far as I'm concerned. And those that are still trusting third-party custodians, thinking, oh, everything's going to be okay because so-and-so said so, guess what, buddy? I have very, very bad news for you. So either get your head on straight or learn what I learned 6 years ago in the most horrific humanly possible way.
Tony, I think that's well said. Well, speaking of a big boom, it could be coming because it appears as though Jerome Powell is going to be fired by Donald Trump. And this is a crazy story because everyone's agreed that you can't just fire the Federal Reserve. They're independent. You know, anyone from the Federal Reserve, it's an independent quasi-government agency. We all know it's just a government agency, but technically it's supposed to be independent. So the only way that Trump can fire Powell is for cause. I was telling you guys offline, apparently there's been like this $2 billion plus renovation of the Federal Reserve building. And so, yeah, I don't think Powell's probably overseeing that, but that could be a funny reason for firing him. But more importantly, Trump thinks we need to cut the Fed funds rate by 300 basis points. So, I mean, talk about money printer go burr. I mean, it would be a melt up, right? Like, we'd see asset prices just skyrocket. I can only imagine what would happen to Bitcoin. Ben, do you have any thoughts or commentary on, first of all, do you think it's going to happen? It seems like this is being talked about seriously. And if so, what maybe the consequences or the implications could be?
I feel like one of my mantras I've been bringing up every time you guys invite me on, which is, it's kind of funny to keep inviting me on because I always fall back to this, is just, I don't care. I just don't care. It doesn't matter. I just view that position as a puppet anyway. He's not the one that is actually holding the power here. This guy that walks up with a tie and just talks on a microphone, he's not the one making the real decisions. He's just a guy. So I really don't care at all. And I think it's just kind of a joke. I would say that if it does come out that huge renovation is the reason why, I highly doubt that because they have the money printer. The people they would be kicking him out also want to keep doing the same thing of just printing infinite money for themselves. So they wouldn't want to bring attention to that. So I don't know. It just doesn't matter to me. He's a puppet.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with that. In fact, I would never defend anyone involved with the Federal Reserve, but I've heard a handful of Bitcoiners, again, people I respect, say, ironically, Powell has actually done a fairly good job. Like, we haven't had an implosion. Like, he was dealt a very tough hand. And the market hasn't imploded. He hiked interest rates. We had some inflation. It's, you know, back down to some degree. Obviously, we don't believe the CPI prints, but, you know, it's like, all things considered, given the hand he was dealt, like, we haven't, the economy just hasn't blown up. The world hasn't exploded. I can only imagine, though, if Trump gets someone he wants in there, what the implications for the money printer could be. Not to your point, I agree with you that it's going to go burr eventually at some point for a long period for the rest of our lives if the central bank continues to operate. But I mean, in the short term, it could be a wild, you know, explosion of M2 growth. But yeah, I agree with you generally. Like, you know, Powell, anyone else, like they're just a puppet, and eventually everyone's going to print money to some degree. And, we'll have to ride that wave. So buy Bitcoin. Tony, do you care about Jerome Powell at all?
No, not particularly. And I understand why Ben doesn't care. It's because when you've been in Bitcoin for long enough, you really become desensitized to the fiat world. It's almost as if it doesn't exist anymore. Because, you know, you function on a whole different parallel now, living, you know, as a sovereign individual. And you're just watching the show from the outside. So whether one gets fired, one gets replaced, at the end of the day, nothing changes because the money printer has to keep going to keep the whole thing alive. So if they get rid of him, replace him by somebody else, the money printer is still going on full throttle. If they drop by 300 basis points, you know, all those waiting for Bitcoin to hit a million are going to be celebrating like the 4th of July because it'll happen very, very quickly. So, but do I personally care? No. Why? Because there's nothing I can say or do that's going to change the outcome anyhow. We're not part of that club. I personally have zero interest in being part of it anyhow. And neither are you. Neither are any American citizens. So you're just, you know, the casualties of whatever decisions, you know, that club concocts. And none of it is for your own good. So whether, you know, you want to accept that or not, that's a personal choice. But, you know, the fact remains that up until now, July 18th, 2025, nothing good has come out from any politician in power.
I think that is well said. I'd be curious, anyone listening, drop a comment and tell us what you think. Do you care about Powell? Do you think he's going to get fired? I haven't really gotten a finger on the pulse of what's actually going on, but lots of swirling rumors at the moment. All right, guys, last one, just for fun. We have a new Doge treasury company. So BitOrigin secures $500 million equity and debt facilities to launch their Doge treasury. We don't even need to get into the details of the article. I think that says everything we need to know. Could you imagine having access to $500 million worth of capital, evaluating the world as we can all see it, and choosing Doge instead of Bitcoin? Like, I there are fiat products I would choose over Doge, right? Like, I mean, never forget Bitcoin for a minute. Tony, what do you think this is one of those articles we're going to be like looking back on? People are going to be retweeting it 10 years from now and like,
yeah,
laugh.
Of course, man. Money doesn't mean brains, right? I mean, it's like God knows who funded this thing. And, you know, it's designed to sucker in even more ignorant people to, you know, give up their money. It's as simple as that. It's a gamble. If you're feeling lucky, why not try it? You know, if you've got like $1,000 to kill, drop it in there. Maybe you make money or you lose it all. But, you know, a lot of folks are going to think this is like the answer to their problems. And they're going to go in like that Hawktua coin and they're going to put in all their life savings. And then, oops, no blowjob at the end. You know, no happy ending. And that's how they're going to, you know, they're going to wake up, you know, with a balance of zero and they're like, ah, shit, I just got scammed. Yeah, well, no shit, Sherlock. You know, what did you expect? Again, you know, think the thought, you know, thinking is a luxury, it seems these days. It's not like a standard default of human behavior.
Tony, it's been a while since we had a sexual reference from you. So thank you for that. Ben. What do you think
Bitcoin
about
Bitcoin always brings a happy ending? That's what I'll say. Bitcoin always has a happy ending.
All right, you guys. This is a lot of fun. Hey, Ben, why don't you give everyone a handoff? Tell them where they can find you. Thanks for being here, man. I really appreciate it.
Just throw my name in anywhere you're watching. YouTube, podcasts. We've got the Ben Worman podcast where you can go into all sorts of fun rabbit holes like the ones that both these gentlemen are. I'm still bugging both of you guys on different ones, actually. I know, Michael, you're reading my nostrils this morning.
Yeah. Tony, I don't know if you saw this. I'm getting back into Noster. Very cool. And by the way, I'm going to have Alex Svetsky on to talk about Satlantis. So awesome. That'll be a fun episode. So stay tuned for that, everyone. Subscribe to the channel if you want to hear it. But he was something about like if the Earth, if this is really a heliocentric, solar system.
Pull up a picture of it, Michael. Show the people what they want to see.
been explained. Hang on, let me. It might take me a minute. Explain like the way that the stars, you know, work. Oh shoot, I'm not logged in. Yeah, I'll share this afterwards. But I was like, hey Ben, I'm just trying to have a cup of coffee and enjoy my morning, and here you are like throwing all this at me. And he's like, yep, sorry man, not gonna happen. So yeah, go follow Ben. He's a fun follow. All the rabbit holes that we as a company at the Bitcoin Way aren't going to go down, Ben is doing that on the side. So check him out. Gents, thanks for being here. Everyone, thank you for tuning in, of course, and stick around for another minute. Learn a little bit about the Bitcoin Way. We'd love to chat with you, help you take proper self-custody of your Bitcoin. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks again, gents. Talk to you soon.
Later. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.